Welcome back to the Tag Teamers Podcast. I'm Russell, as always. We're going to cover AEW Dynamite. A lot of big developments here. The AEW Tag Team title match is set for Grand Slam now following the Casino Gauntlet Tag Team title match. Number one contenders match. A lot happened here. I think Ospreay and Kyle Fletcher winning, bad decision. I would rather have seen an actual tag team be set up in a position to challenge for the world tag titles. They go with the makeshift team. I don't think this helps Ospreay or the international title. His first run with the international title, he was too busy focused on Swerve in the world championship. Now his second run, he's, you know, a few weeks later, he's already set up in a tag team title match rather than defending his own title. I just think that's a misstep. I know, you know, we need to break him away from the Don Callis family, and the tag match will serve as that because they'll probably turn on him following the match when they lose, especially if it's his fault. But I think the Don Callis family can turn on him regardless. They don't need the tag team title shot to do that. Another thing with the Casino Gauntlet, I don't like how they say that there's 21 teams that can show up, and then but the match can end at any time. I feel that's a little anticlimactic. You're supposed to be on the edge of your seat because it can end at any time, but as wrestling fans, that's not really how we're programmed. We're expecting to see the 21 teams. I think this match really showcased how weak the tag team division is in AEW now. It's a far cry from what it used to be. The tag division used to be the number one thing AEW had going for them. Now, I mean, look at some of the teams in this match. This was ugly, real ugly. And, I mean, even like Private Party, who's an established tag team, earlier in the night, they get attacked before their match. I just think they could have been better served within this gauntlet match as well. I would have really loved to have seen if they actually put the 21 teams out there, who they would have put out there. Because I think even at this point, it was getting thin. So it would have gotten really thin at that point. I think this match had good moments. Matches like this kind of always do. Like when Ospreay and Dante Martin have their interactions, that's tremendous. I think that's a match that should happen for the International Championship within the next few weeks because those two together, clearly magic. I think every AEW fan would line up to watch that match. So I'm hopeful that happens. I'm just glad we didn't end up with FTR, the Acclaimed, winning this as well. So that is the positive with Fletcher and Ospreay, is we do get different few different challengers for the Young Bucks, which we desperately need. But I do think Tony Khan kind of had a misstep even booking this match, because so far with the Casino matches in their short history, they've debuted somebody pretty much every time. So I think this kind of set up for an overpromise, underdeliver. I think everyone was kind of expecting a debut. I know some people were thinking Motor City Machine Guns. Obviously, there's the reports out there that they've signed with WWE. We didn't know that that's official. We still don't know that's official until we actually see that. But I do think that's part of the issue, is it started to make people's mind wander, and they thought, oh, we might see the Machine Guns tonight. Obviously, that's not what we got. There's reports Bobby Lashley, Shelton Benjamin, and MVP have been talking with AEW. If Lashley and Shelton Benjamin were in this match, I think that would have been tremendous as well. I just think showing, you know, just these low card teams in this match wasn't the best idea. I think we could have probably qualified Ospreay and Fletcher in a different way that didn't make people wonder and hope who was coming, especially because that's what this match has kind of always been so far. All these Casino matches, whether it's the ladder, the battle royal, the tag team, there's always kind of been a debut or a surprise return. So this kind of was just lackluster because it was missing that. I think the Outrunners could have won this as well. I mean, they're getting over, real over. And the crowd, I think, would have popped big for them. I think them facing the Young Bucks as something like Grand Slam, perfect. On a pay-per-view, yeah, you could argue maybe they're not ready for that yet. But, you know, on a weekly show, yeah, I think that would have been better move. I think that's what probably should have happened if I was booking it. I think I would have put the Outrunners in this position to challenge for the world tag titles. I'm not saying give them the titles. I'm just saying put them in the match, and that would have been great for the Young Bucks to beat this team that's mega over rather than Fletcher and Ospreay, who aren't even a real team. I don't think that does a whole lot for the Bucks. On the flip side, Ospreay in the same ring with the Young Bucks, that's going to be a lot of fun. Even Fletcher in the ring. Fletcher's good. He is really good. He's got a lot of potential. So I have no doubt about it being a great match. I just wish the story maybe called for it. That's all I'm asking. I just want the story to make sense. The world title tag titles are prestigious. I want importance on them, and I want everything that revolves around them to make sense. I don't feel like I'm asking for too much here. I'm just asking for the proper respect to be given to tag titles and even the international championship. Like I said, I don't want that on the back burner for another few weeks, because the next 2 weeks we're going to be focused on the tag title match, and that title is just going to be floating around. It's just not going to matter. We all know AEW has too many titles. They're not really, you know, they're not really using some of these titles properly either. And I think that's the issue. I don't think people complain that there's too many titles because they feel like they're all properly being used. I think people complain because of stuff like this. We're just going to throw that title on the back burner. Why? What does that do for anybody? This roster is too deep. It's got too many guys that should be challenging and being in these matches. I mean, there's a long list of guys I think we would all love to see Ospreay face. And we're not getting that right now because we're going to focus on this. But, I mean, I don't want to harp too much on it because, like I said, I do think we're going to get a great match. I think it is going to set up the separation from Ospreay and Kyle Fletcher, which is a long time coming. I mean, Ospreay may be the biggest babyface in the whole company right now. And the Don Callis family is obviously a heel faction. So, you know, maybe we could have done this separation weeks or months ago. But that, I think we'll get that now. Speaking of Grand Slam, I mean, we also get Darby Allin gives up his title shot. Doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. I'll never understand why guys would give up a guaranteed world championship match. He already had it. He earned it with the Royal Rampage, but now he's putting it on the line against Jon Moxley. It's another one of those things where this will be a great match. I mean, Darby and Moxley, sign me up. I mean, sign anybody up, I'm sure, that watches AEW. I don't think people are complaining that we're getting the match. Just want the story to make sense. I don't think Darby just risking it after he outlasted 19 other guys in the Royal Rampage match just because he respects Moxley, after Moxley just talked down to him and told him, you're never going to be world champion. I think he should have just proved him wrong. I think that would have made more sense. I get it. He wants to beat him first, earn his respect. But, I mean, the world championship is why every wrestler is wrestling. I don't think you should ever in a million years give up your opportunity at the world title. And not just that, I mean, I am kind of disappointed because I was looking forward to Danielson versus Darby. That's probably, I would say top three AEW dream match for myself. That's a match I really have been wanting to see since Danielson joined the company. And you know, just 2 weeks out from it, it gets taken away. Kind of sucks. I would imagine Darby will beat Moxley, and Danielson will probably defend it at WrestleDream against Darby. So we will still get the match, just on a delay, which is okay. It's not the end of the world. It probably belongs on pay-per-view anyways. So I understand. Even more so with the Moxley-Darby segment. Marina Shafir, I mean, she's not really doing much for me with Moxley or the BCC. I mean, it's a good position for her, and I'm not hating on her. It's just, it's not adding, you know, like she goes face-to-face with Darby. I mean, Darby is the most fearless guy in the company. He's not afraid. You know, I don't think anybody in the company stepping up to him could intimidate him. Never mind somebody who, let's be honest, Marina Shafir, she doesn't have the best win-loss record in AEW. So it's just one of those things I feel like we could have done without. But, I mean, they're trying to get the talent on TV, so I'm not going to knock that too much either. I said I think Darby will win. I don't really know if that's a lock, just because the story is there with the BCC and Moxley. You know, they did turn on Danielson. They could go Moxley versus Danielson. You know, I mean, did viciously attack him. So there is definitely a possibility of that, but we have seen that. I'm not sure I want to see that again, you know, especially over Darby. Darby versus Danielson should be the number one priority here. But let's say Moxley does win. I would imagine Danielson Moxley falls at WrestleDream. Danielson retains. Maybe the Blackpool Combat Club beats him down following the match. And then that's when we see Christian cash in and become world champion. And I believe WrestleDream's happening in Washington. That's where Danielson's from. I think that would set up perfectly for Christian. It would fit his character awesome. It would really establish him cashing in, you know, like if they're going to try to build, you know, that whole thing similar to how the Money in the Bank is, then yeah, I think that could work. Even if Moxley loses to Darby, I guess we could see Darby, Danielson, WrestleDream, Danielson retains, and then Blackpool Combat Club beats him down either way, and then Christian cashes in then, but I kind of have a feeling Christian's leaving WrestleDream as the world champion. And I have no issue with that. I think Christian has been the MVP for AEW for the last year and a half. I think he's consistently been the best storyteller. I mean, he cuts some of the best promos. He's tremendous. He could still go in the ring, especially for his age. I think Christian leaving WrestleDream as world champion makes too much sense. I would say keep an eye on him cashing in then. That would be the best move as a heel. And, I mean, even to open the show, I mean, Christian, he was out there bragging about himself. He had the contract, said next AEW champion. That got a pop out of me. Him calling himself the reigning, defending, undisputed next champion. I mean, that's comedy gold. That's perfect. That's what I'm talking about with Christian. Constantly, he does these things. He separates himself from the rest of this AEW roster. I don't think anybody can really match him on the mic in AEW other than MJF. I think those two are just a tier above everybody else. So if that's the direction we go, I'm okay with that, and I'm happy. I think that'll set up, you know, Luchasaurus, Killswitch, to ultimately cost him the world title later on. I would rather Christian get it and then Luchasaurus cost him rather than Luchasaurus cost him when he is cashing in. It would be a good story either way, but I just want to see Christian get the world championship personally. Speaking of the world championship, we did get Nigel McGuinness to confirm he's challenging Danielson at Grand Slam in 2 weeks for the world title. This was interesting. I knew we were going to get this match at some point. Once we seen Nigel could still wrestle, you know, at All In, he showed he still got potential. He looked good, man. I mean, he's been out of the ring for, I think it was 13 years before this. I think it might be a little rushed, but because it's happening so soon, makes me think that Danielson's title reign will be short. I don't think Danielson versus Nigel needs the world title. Obviously, that's the direction they're going. Kind of crazy to me that this is just going to happen on Dynamite. This is also another match that could be a pay-per-view main event. I mean, the history between these two, I think, has a lot of people intrigued. We know they're going to put on a great match. I'll be interested to see if Nigel can still go with Danielson, though. You know, at All in the Casino Gauntlet, you know, there's 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 other people in there. You can hide. You can catch your breath. You can do things like that. And I'm not saying Nigel's not in great shape, because he is, but ring shape is different. And to go with Danielson, who some people believe is the best wrestler in the world, for the World Heavyweight Championship in your second match back in 10-plus years, that's a big move. That's a big move, and I'll be very impressed with Nigel if he can keep up and make this a great match. I'm sure he'll slow it down at points. I mean, that's kind of his style anyways. He is a bit of a grinder, but this was interesting. I think I'm going to miss Nigel on commentary. I don't know how much he's actually going to wrestle versus commentary. He could challenge Danielson, and for all we know, that could be his last match, Nigel's. Or that could be, you know, something he does every few months. You know, wrestles a match, does commentary again. Or if he's moving into a semi-regularly full-time wrestling career again, yeah, I will miss him on commentary, but I'm happy for him. I would like to see him end his in-ring career on his own terms. So good for him. I'm looking forward to that match. Obviously, no chance he takes the title off of Danielson. But yeah, they should put on a banger. That's what I would expect. Another big thing from AEW Dynamite tonight was we got Ricochet versus Sammy Guevara. This match is important to me because I think this is AEW. And what do I mean by that? I mean, this is what made AEW successful from the beginning. These kind of matches are the matches that I think drew people's interest. These are different than WWE matches. And it just gives these guys great opportunities. I think both guys showed out. Great match for Ricochet. Great match for Sammy. I knew these two would cook together. I was very excited when this match got announced and completely delivered. I think Ricochet didn't win with the 630, which I'm curious to see if he moves away from that as his finisher now. I was kind of expecting him to lean more into the high flying now that he was in AEW, but if he wants to dial it back because everybody else is high flying too and show that he is more than a high flyer, then good on him, because I think he's got the potential to prove that. After the match, you know, we kind of see Sammy Guevara might be turning face. You know, him and Ricochet. I mean, if those two were allies and were teaming up as a makeshift team, I wouldn't be against that for a little bit. Obviously, Sammy's teaming with Dustin Rhodes right now, which is as makeshift of a team as maybe you could ever get. But I wouldn't be against seeing Ricochet versus Sammy Guevara a couple more times. I think this just showcases what Ricochet is capable of. So good on them for that. Last thing I'll talk about from Dynamite is the Orange Cassidy Chris Jericho segment. I'm not happy we're back to this feud. 4+ years ago, that was fun. It was fun, you know, the Mimosa Mayhem match. We had some good moments. I just think at this time, this isn't really the move for either guy. I think we could have went a different direction for Jericho, more specifically. I've been kind of bored with Orange for the last 2+ years now. And Jericho, I think he is picking up steam. I mean, people hate on it on Twitter, but the crowd's doing the high guys with him. You see all the hands are going up, waving. Chris Jericho, master innovation. You know, he continues to do it. Everybody hated this at first, and now it's catching on. I mean, the license plate saying hi, guys, perfect, perfect. But speaking of that car, the best they could do was Orange dropped change in the car. Big deal. I mean, we're used to seeing cars being absolutely destroyed. Last week on Dynamite, we watched Hangman burn down Swerve's childhood house. And then this week, we're watching Jericho all upset that he got a bunch of quarters dropped in his car. Big deal. Big deal. I just think there's a little bit of an inconsistency with AEW, with the storytelling, with, you know, these kind of things. Like I said, you can't burn down a house 1 week and then follow it up with this and expect me to feel for Jericho. And I know Jericho's the heel. I'm not supposed to feel for him, but still, I just think that we probably could have done something different. I mean, if Orange destroyed the car, you know, or if there was something else that he dropped into the car, okay, maybe I would understand. But just a bunch of change didn't really do it for me. It's more annoying than anything, but it's not something to really be super upset about if you're Jericho. I mean, maybe this match will happen at Grand Slam, hopefully. I don't want to see this extended all the way to Wrestle Dream or even further than that. But if this match happens at Grand Slam, I'm good with that. I mean, Grand Slam is shaping up to be pretty good. I mean, it might fall on Rampage of that week or Collision. Doesn't have to be Dynamite. But, yeah, I mean, all I want with this feud is a quick couple weeks. I don't need this to be extended for a month plus. But yeah, we got a lot to look forward to with AEW. I think Wrestle Dream's going to be great. And, I mean, Grand Slam, this is looking like maybe the best Grand Slam card so far. Obviously, the year we got Omega Danielson, that was awesome. But I think top to bottom, this one might end up being better. I'll just end with this. Thank you guys for listening. Please like, share, comment, subscribe.